this week, July 29th, 2014, on The Digital Story. Make Mine 300mm, Rode Mic for iPhone 5S and the iPad Mini, Out of Focus Backdrops, all this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Have such a fun show for you this week. A few little surprises. So we got lots to do here. Let's get to the weekly update. Top story. I love this. This is so clever. So the Out of Focus Backdrop. This is brand new. And what it is basically they have created two backdrops, two reversible models. One model is a seascape on one side and autumn foliage on the other. And then the second version is summer foliage on one side and city lights on the other. But what they've done is they've made these images in the backdrop out of focus, so that if you put a subject in front of them, focus on the subject, it looks like you've got this really cool out of focus backdrop in the background. Actually, if you do it right, they won't even know it's a backdrop. We'll talk about that in a second. So these things measure 4 feet by 5 feet. So that means they're big enough for waist up portraits, maybe even 3/4 portraits, depending on the person. And they only weigh about 6.5 pounds, and they're $205 each. And they fold up really nice and easy. Now, here's the trick. When you're using a backdrop with a scene like this, even an out-of-focus scene, you have to pay special attention to your lighting. In other words, if you have like this city scene, that's one of the ones behind, right? This out-of-focus city lights. Well, you're not going to use, you know, two flashes, 45-degree angle at the subject, equal power, right? That's just going to look so wrong, right? And, you know, every now and then we see either these bad Photoshop jobs where they bring in a backdrop in Photoshop where the light is falling one way, and then they put a subject in front of it where the light on the subject's a different way, and you just look at it and you go, I know something's wrong. You know, your eye, I mean, even if you're not a photographer, you know something's wrong. You might not be able to articulate it, but you know something is wrong. These backdrops, I think, are a great idea, but what you want to do is create your lighting scheme in your studio, and this could be anywhere, this could be an extra room in your house, that comes as close to the feel, the vibe, and the direction of light that is in your backdrop. If you do that, if you light your subject carefully using these out-of-focus backdrops, I think you can create some pretty neat portraits. But I think in a lot of ways, when you use something like this, a scenic backdrop, you have to pay more attention to your subject lighting than you normally would. So anyway, that's my tip. But I love this idea. I think these things are cool. Having like these out of focus thing, and because they are out of focus, I think that a lot of people can use them and it's still going to be okay, right? It's not like I'm going to say, hey, that tree is in a whole bunch of different shots by different photographers. No, it's out of focus. You're not going to be able to tell. Anyway, very, very clever idea. The links to all this stuff is in the show notes. And that story, that top story about the out of focus backdrops, brought to us by DP Review. Okay, in other news, the Hoya EVO anti-static filter series is out, and this is brought to us by a photography blog where I have a link to them. Now, here's the thing. This is kind of neat. We're starting to see these coatings on certain lenses. I know Nikon and Sigma both have lenses out where they put this coating on the outer lens, the objective lens, that reduces, you know, smudging, fingerprints, repels dust, you know, all this cool stuff. I think that's a great idea, but a lot of us already have a whole bunch of lenses. As these new ones come out, it's not like we're going to replace them just because of this feature, even though we might like this feature a lot. So what Hoya has done is that they've created a high-quality filter that basically does the same thing. It acts like a force field around the filter to repel dust, and the hardened anti-static layer is water repellent, stain and scratch resistant, and cleans easily when smudges or fingerprints are introduced to the surface. Now that sounds pretty cool. Now I went on to B&H and I checked, and they didn't have this particular filter yet, the EVO anti-static filter, but I'll put a link from Photography Blog to the article, and it's something that I'm sure is going to show up on the market here relatively soon. You might want to put it on your radar next time you have to buy some protection filters or polarizing filters to take a look at these. I think they'll probably cost about the same. Hoyas are usually somewhat reasonably priced, so I would imagine, for example, that a 77 millimeter diameter filter probably going to cost you around $45 or $50. All right, and finally, the Sigma DP2 Quattro. We post our first batch of real-world gallery images, including raw conversions. And this is from Imaging Resource, and I have the link in the show notes. So what Imaging Resource has done is that they have this new camera from Sigma. And I have the DP2 Merrill, which is really a special camera in terms of image quality, but it's not the easiest camera in the world to operate or to process the images. And I think that the latest version that we're seeing is also, in that same kind of category, the Quattro. And this is a camera that looks really strange. It's very wide horizontal, and the grip is way on the outside. I understand what they're trying to do is keep the battery and the memory card away from the sensor with this camera. It's one of the things they're trying to do. DP Review, I think, has the camera. Imaging Resource has the camera. A few others have the camera. So we're starting to see some test images from it now. And it's sort of shaking out the way that I would anticipate, which is the image quality for the files that were captured in RAW and converted with the Sigma software are crazy good, just outstanding. Now that process is not a fast process. Now what Imaging Resource is saying also, however, is that the JPEGs are kind of unusual. In some ways they blow your mind, in other ways there are certain colors they have a hard time rendering. These things are a bit of an enigma. If you want a camera that's not very big, that has a lens and a sensor that are perfectly matched, you're willing to work a little slower, and you really want amazing image quality, these cameras by Sigma, and the latest one being the Quattro, are really, worth looking at. So anyway, I have the link. You can take a look at the pictures and see what you think. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Okay, let's move on to our first feature story, which is actually story number two. Make mine 300 millimeters. I'll give you a little background on this. So the lens that I've always wanted for my Canon DSLRs was the Canon EF 70-300 f4 to 5.6 L IS USM lens. But the problem with that lens is that it was $1,600, and I don't shoot with, a 200-300 millimeter lens that often. Now, most of the time when I need a telephoto, I'm using my 70-200 f2.8, and I have the 1.4x teleconverter for it, so I can stretch it out a little bit more, and it's still only at f4. But then, then you're getting into a pretty long hunk of glass, and this white, beautifully white, buff Canon lens just always looks so good. And it was just, just the idea of having a 70-300 natural lens, and then I could add the teleconverter to it if I wanted. That always really thrilled me. But again, $1,600, I don't shoot with them that often, and, they're big to lug around. So what I've been doing is that when I did need that length, that longer lens, then I would rent. And I, you know, a lot of times I would rent that lens. Sometimes I would rent the 300 f4, just dependent on, you know, what the situation was. But the bottom line is, all these years I've been a photographer, I've never had what I consider a high quality 300 millimeter lens. I've had, you know, off and on, I've had the cheapy, you know, like 80 to 300 kind of things, you know, that were a couple hundred bucks. And, you know, I would play with them a little bit and they'd be fine. But they didn't really excite me. And, you know, the image quality actually a lot of times was okay with them. What really didn't excite me was the way that they felt. You know, they were, you know, plastic and just, you know, really didn't feel like a professional lens. So a lot of times I would end up just moving them along. I would sell them. So life goes on, and here I am. This Olympus lens that I talked about last week went on sale. Not big sale. I mean, they took $50 off. So it went from $550 to $500. Or I should say $549 to $499. I have heard good things about this lens from folks. And, you know, I really wanted to have a little longer lens in my arsenal. And I have Safari West coming up for the fall workshop. So I said, I'm going to pull the trigger on this lens. And I talked about this last week. And then over the weekend, I did a test with that lens where I tested it at 100 millimeters against a couple other Olympus lenses that I had here. And it fared very well. It did a very nice job. And I got a little bit more confidence in that lens. And then today, I was hanging around working in the studio. And I had this little garden out back, and it's kind of nice, and it's sort of wild. Actually, right now it's probably a little bit wilder than it should be because I've been so busy. But the nice thing about it is that if I shoot a flower or an insect or something, I usually get a nice out of focus, you know, green background with it. It's really nice, and I can monitor it from my main work area in the studio. So if I'm working away on the laptop and a butterfly comes floating in and hanging around on one of the flowers, then I can pick up a camera and take its picture, which is nice because, you know, a lot of times when we want to do nature photography, we have to like set everything up, go out into nature, and then, you know, just hang around and wait. If you're busy, that one's kind of hard to explain to the family why you're just sitting out in a field all afternoon. If I'm working on my laptop and a butterfly happens to float in, well, that's a different story. So anyway, that's what happened today. And so, okay, I go, and now I'm going to test this thing at 300 millimeters. So I put it all the way out to 300 millimeters. It was on my OMD EM10. And I just put it in program mode. So there was plenty of light. So it was like ISO 200. The aperture was like 7.1. And the shutter speed was, I think, around 320, 1/320th of a second. So all, you know, all pretty decent specs. And I just handheld this thing and made these photographs. And I have a sample on Instagram right now of the butterfly. Actually, the shot that I took is a beautiful butterfly on a passion flower. I have a passion flower vine as part of this jungle on the back porch. And so it was sitting on this passion flower, and it's an attractive shot. I like it. It's on Instagram right now. And by the way, if you haven't been following me on Instagram, that's a fun place to go, because a lot of times I'll put images there first before they make it onto the site or even Facebook sometimes. And I'm just Derrick Story on Instagram, D-E-R-R-I-C-K-S-T-O-R-Y. So if you're an Instagram user, you might want to follow me and get it hot off the press. But I'll probably put a sample also on the Facebook page that talks about this podcast and maybe in the show notes too. So anyway, I was looking at the images I shot of this butterfly on the passion flower on my MacBook Pro Retina display in aperture. And I was pretty okay at 300. Now, the rap on this lens from other people who have tested it, people who actually have optical benches and so forth, or have a regular methodology for testing glass, have said that it performs really well from 75 millimeters to about 220 millimeters, and then between 225 millimeters and 300 millimeters, it performs, it's a good lens, but it's not a great lens. It falls off a little bit. So, I kind of had my fingers crossed when I was looking at the shot, but I focused well on it, and I was using good camera technique, even though it was handheld. And I'll tell you, the shots look good at 300 millimeters. When they missed, when they were out of focus, it was because of me. I focused on the wrong thing, because, butterflies, they do move around quite a bit. I tell them to stand still and smile, yet they don't listen. I was pretty happy with the shots, even at 300 millimeters. Now, again, $499 is not a cheap lens by any stretch of the imagination. And, I really resist getting jaded in this area where saying, well, it's not $4,000, so it's not bad. No, because, you guys and me and a lot of us, we have to work pretty hard for the money that we get to spend on our equipment. So I thought about $499. I debated about it. And if I wasn't in the middle of this project right now, this commercial project where I had a little money to reinvest in the business, I might have even passed on it again. But I will tell you, now that I have it and now that I've paid for it, that it's fun having a 300 millimeter lens. Now, you could argue about the field of view and all that sort of stuff, because it's a micro four thirds sensor. Some people say, well, the effective view is really 600 millimeters. I'm not even going to start that conversation right now. So you have your own personal philosophy about what the effective focal length is when you look through the viewfinder. I'm just going to go off what's on the lens barrel right now, which is 75 to 300. But I'm glad to finally have one. And if someone handed me that Canon, that $1,600 Canon lens, and said, hey, keep it, I would. And I would shoot with it. And I would enjoy it. I promise you, I would. Now I'm probably not going to buy it, because I love traveling with the Micro Four Thirds, and I think this lens is a good value. So if you're thinking about, having a longer lens in your arsenal, this is one to consider. I'm going to kind of close the book on this conversation that we started last week, but it has so far passed all the tests of build quality. It's very nice. Price, it's reasonable. I think it's a good value is the way I'd say it. It looks good. It performs well at 100 millimeters. I did that test and published it over the weekend on Digital Story. And then this round of shooting at 300 millimeters, I'm also happy with that. So life at 300 millimeters, make mine 300 millimeters. I'm glad, yay, I finally have 300 millimeter lens accessible to me without being too big. And that is definitely what I'm going to be using at Safari West. So, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about this Rode mic. Now, why would photographers be interested in a microphone that you can carry with you easily? It's not very big. It's very small, in fact. Mounts to your iPhone, iPhone 5 series, or iPad mini. Well, the reason being is because there are so many situations where we need good audio. We're doing an interview that maybe will be part of a voiceover that goes with a slideshow. We're recording ambient sound that we might want to use with some video clips or with a slideshow. Or we're recording an actual video, we're making a movie, and we know that those onboard mics for all the cameras are terrible, and that we're forced to do something else. And that something else can be where you get an external microphone that you plug into your camera, if your camera has a mic jack, if it even accepts a mic jack. But then you really have to look into, well, what are the quality of the preamps for that microphone that's in your camera? What is the quality of the mic? And, you know, how well does this work out? Another route that a lot of photographers and movie makers like is to record the audio separately with a separate device and then also record it with the onboard mic for your camera. So you record your video with your camera mic and a separate mic, and then what you do in Final Cut 10 or whatever you're using, you just replace that terrible audio track that your camera recorded with the audio track from the nice external mic. Now, the problem with this approach is, of course, you start getting into a lot of extra equipment. And, you know, how do you mount this external device and, you know, all that sort of stuff. The thing that I like about the Rode IXY mic, and I've been using the dock connector version since it came out. And when I'm recording podcasts on the Rode, a lot of times that's what I'm using. But now they just came out with the Lightning version for the iPhone 5 series. And they don't tell you for the iPad mini. It's nowhere in the documentation. And the reason why is because they also came out with a Rode mic for the iPad that goes in kind of using a USB adapter. So, and it looks like a very nice mic. But the thing about it is that the Rode IXY is a very compact. So this is the mic that has the Nimbleosity rating, right? This is the mic that fits in a little pouch that will fit inside your camera bag, no problem. So it comes with the mic with the Lightning connector. It comes with a foam windscreen. And then you can buy an additional grip for it. It's called the Rode Grip. And the Rode Grip is $39. And with that, you can mount your iPhone onto your camera via the hot shoe or put it on a tripod or whatever and really just position the mic wherever you want. So the mic is small and it fits onto devices that we're already carrying with us. In my case, I'm already carrying the iPhone 5S. I'm already carrying the iPad mini. So then I don't have to bring the device. I have the device already. I don't have to bring the earphones to listen to the audio while it's recording, which you can do because I use the Rode software for recording. I just have all that hardware with me. I have the software with me, and I just have to bring this little mic. And it sounds great. Now, it's interesting. Before I left for Europe, I revisited this whole audio on the run setup. The reason being that I knew I wanted to do a podcast while I was on the road in Europe so that I didn't miss a show. And so I revisited everything. Now, I already had the dock connector version of the Rode mic, so I knew I could use it in the iPhone 4S that has a dock connector. But I said, you know what? I should just look at the whole landscape. So I looked at everything. I spent like 2 nights researching stuff and looking for different setups to see, you know, what would really be the best setup. What I ended up doing was nothing and using the Rode dock connector mic that I had because it was still the best solution. And that was because of the software. That was because of the size of the mic, how easy it was to use, the quality of the sound. You know, when I record this, you know, it records it right onto, in this case, I'm using the iPad mini. And then all I do is either edit it right on the iPad, or I can save it as an AIFF file or a WAV file, or I can save it as a compressed file, put it onto my laptop if I want, and edit it there. So you have all these options. You have all these things that you can do with it. And so I just end up sticking with it. Now that they have the one with the Lightning connector, I don't even have to use the old dock connector version anymore. I can just use the Mini and the 5S I'm carrying with me, plug this baby in, and off to the races I go. So it's good for all these different uses. And I think the thing about it is now the mic is $199, which, you know, in all honesty, is about the price of a lot of audio recorders too. But you do save on space, and you know, you have to check the quality of the audio recorders. I think it has a very high nibulosity rating. It's easy to use, and the quality, well, you can judge for yourself by listening to this podcast. So I'm happy they came out with the new version. And if you don't mind carrying a bigger mic that will also work with your Mac, then you might want to look at the new, I think they call it the USB mic for iPad and Mac. And it's pretty slick too, but I'll tell you, it's many times bigger than this little IXY that I'm carrying with me. So anyway, if you do anticipate having audio needs and you're using iOS devices and you don't want to carry a lot of gear with you, take a look at the Rode IXY. I think it's just a terrific little microphone setup. All right, let's hop over. No, let's not hop. No hopping today. Let's leisurely stroll over to the screening room. We're going to visit with Tim Gray today, and I've featured Tim before, but I found this movie, and I was so excited when I found it. So the actual title is Basics of Using the Nick Collection with Tim Gray. And what this is, of course, is the Nick/Google plugins for Lightroom and Aperture and Photoshop. Now, he's using it primarily with Lightroom. And what's nice about this is that the movie that we get to feature in the screening room is a nice 10-minute movie. And Tim walks you through the entire setup of this collection in Lightroom. Now, I've been using these tools for a long time. I love them. I love SilverFX Pro 2, especially for black and white work. So, you know, I'm watching the movie and I'm going, this is really good. But, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I know all this stuff. And he actually showed me a couple things I didn't know. So I'm going, that's cool. I love it when that happens. So this one, you're really going to get your money's worth, which is free. And it's Tim Gray, and he's doing the basics of using the Nick Collection. Nice movie. And it's over at the TDS screening room, which is lynda.com/thedigitalstory. That's where you can get the link to this movie. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch the other design, photography, and computing titles, plus every other topic in the library, including my photographing high school senior portraits. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one too. Anyway, super movie. Job well done by Tim Gray. Okay, story number 5. Let's talk a little bit more about this photo workshop brainstorming session that we're doing together for 2015. Now, if you listened in last week, what I said was, I'm working on the 2015 lineup, and I like to introduce a couple new workshops every year. And I want to introduce something that's really cool as part of the new ones. So I threw it out to you guys. I said, look, you know, send me your ideas. And if there's one that really resonates that isn't already on my list, and, you know, that's the caveat. You know, I already have a pretty good list myself. But if you introduce me to something new that I wasn't thinking of, then, and if I do that workshop, then you'll get to go for free. Your tuition will be covered as a thank you for helping me with that idea. So I have, after the first week of doing this, some really nice ideas. You guys that have submitted, good job. some very thoughtful emails there coming in from you. And there's a few ideas I'm already attracted to and leaning towards. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to add a new workshop to 2015 based on one of your ideas. But I'm not going to say what they are quite yet. I want to let this run another week in case folks were traveling or didn't have a chance to get to it, but they wanted to submit an idea. So I have it all spelled out in the show notes, but all you have to do is send me an email to Derrick@thedigitalstory.com, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, @thedigitalstory.com, with the subject line, my favorite workshop topic, and then spell it out for me. Let me know what you're thinking. And then probably I'm hoping we'll see what happens this week, but I'm hoping that after this week, I'll close it off and I'll make a decision, and then I'll let you know. I'll either let you know either in next week's podcast or the one after that. We'll see how that goes. But I'm having a blast with this, and I think this might be something we do every year, in part because you guys are so smart. You're really coming up with some terrific stuff here. All right, so thanks to those that have submitted. If you want to and you haven't yet, do it this week. You never know. I might pick yours and invite you to my workshop. Oh, by the way, the workshop schedule, I'm planning, I'd like to have it up in September or October. Yeah. So that'd be for 2015, because I want you to be able to make plans if you're thinking about coming to one next year, which I hope you are, because they are a blast. All right, let's get to our virtual camera club news. So we only have a few days left for the Sizzlepix summer sale, where they knock 20% off the price of a Sizzlepix, any size, any quantity. And all you have to do is put the initials TDS, or The Digital Story, in the comment space of the new simplified online ordering form at sizzlepix.com, sizzlpix.com. And they also have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. You do that and you will get 20% off, but that only runs to the end of the month. So you only have a couple more days left. If you've been procrastinating, now would be the time to order your Sizzlepix. And they're also the sponsors of the monthly photo assignment. By the way, we're coming to the end of the month for that too. And the photo assignment for this month is smoking hot. The entries are starting to flow in, and is what I was hoping for, some good creative stuff. Pictures have come in that were not on my radar. I can tell you that right now. And I love it. I love it when you guys do that to me. It gets me so excited. So you got a few more days. And, you know, of course, one of those participants will be picked as a Sizzlepix pick of the month and get a free Sizzlepix. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And also want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper. And you know, I think it's because of the smoking hot theme for the photo assignment, but the paper that has been coming to mind for Red River Paper, and you know, they have all these different emulsions, you know, these different stocks, but the Polar Metallic, for some reason, this month is just sticking in my head, and it is a really unusual and fantastic paper that gives you that metallic effect, but on a stock that you can run through your inkjet printer. So if you want to try something that's vibrant, let's say that you have some great firework shots from 4th of July, this would be the perfect paper to print it on. And you can get it from them for a very affordable price, because they make the paper and they sell the paper. And they're also giving you a discount on the shipping. And all you have to do is put in the code. We have a code on your order, which is GROUND50C, and they'll give you a 50% discount on UPS ground shipping. And they also have a beautiful and rocking Facebook page, facebook.com/redriverpaper. Okay, I think that is going to do it. Oh, one note, by the way, you know, if you're ordering something, let's say you want to get that lens that I talked about, that 75-300. If you're going to do it through Amazon or B&H anyway, if you just go to the Digital Story, go to the second column there, we have an ad for Amazon, we have an ad for B&H. Whatever that ad is, doesn't make a lot of difference. You just click on that tile, takes you to their site, then search for what you want. If you end up buying it, that helps support the site, and it doesn't cost you any more money at all. So that's a really nice way to contribute. And then, of course, all the links that I put in the show notes and the articles for Digital Story, those are all affiliate-based links. So if you see something, if you read about something on the site that you end up wanting to buy, if you use the link in the story, That'll take you, of course, right to the catalog page on Amazon or B&H. If you buy it, then that also helps the site. It's a nice way that, you know, we can, you know, keep the lights on without really being much trouble to any of us. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. I hope you liked this podcast with the Rode IXY mic plugged into my iPad mini using the Rode software to record it. Next week, we'll be back with the regular studio setup. I've got lots of fun topics, so you got to make sure you come back, spend some time with me, and we'll talk shop. Until then, bye-bye now.